Redistricting adds to the intrigue of Utah's 68th district race. Lieutenant governor candidates debate about the economy and education, and the 4th congressional race breaks a Utah record. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Thursday, November 1st. I'm Brian Grimmett.
I'm Terry Gilday. House District 68 is geographically the second largest legislative district in the state. It covers more than 18,000 square miles. As KUER's Dan Bomas reports, the way the lines were drawn around this vast district are part of the political story in this year's election.
It's been about 20 years since Merrill Nelson served his one term in the Utah House of Representatives, but this year's legislative redistricting has given him the opportunity to seek another. He's a Republican who lives in Grantsville, and the new boundaries of District 68 divide Tooele County and extend all the way to Milford in Beaver County. Most of Juab County, including Eureka, is also now in District 68, and that's where the Democratic candidate Tom Nedreberg comes from. Nelson challenged the incumbent Republican in District 68, Bill Wright. Wright appeared vulnerable after sponsoring a couple of controversial bills. One would have required Utah schools to teach an abstinence-only sex education curriculum, and that was vetoed by Governor Gary Herbert. The other, House Bill 116, establishes a guest worker program for undocumented immigrants. Wright saw it as a way to make sure farmers could hire the workers they need, and he wonders why the issue got Republican voters so upset.
The solution seems simple, and maybe it's because some might say, well, you just don't understand. Maybe I don't. But it's a real simple solution, but when you throw it out, the bias and the politics and a variety of other stuff had become really very... We made a very complicated issue out of a simple solution.
Merrill Nelson, who is an attorney, says House Bill 116 was a pointless effort and the state ought to pursue more practical solutions to the immigration issue.
The legislative council, even the sponsor, recognized that it was probably not a constitutional piece of legislation. Certainly it would require a federal waiver, federal authorization. And the recent Arizona case in the U.S. Supreme Court has reaffirmed that the federal government has exclusive jurisdiction over immigration naturalization issues and over issuance of work permits to those who are here illegally. And so it's really not a state function.
There was enough discontent with Wright to give Nelson a close victory in the Republican primary in June. His Democratic opponent in next week's election is Tom Nedreberg, the school technology director from the Tintic School District in Eureka. He's also a former principal of both Tintic High School and Eureka Elementary. The Snake Valley on the Utah-Nevada state line is part of District 68. Residents on the Utah side believe they are threatened by a plan to pump billions of gallons of groundwater to Las Vegas from the valleys of the Great Basin. Both candidates agree on protecting Utah's interest. Tom Nedreberg says the water needs to stay where it is.
If you drill holes in Nevada and it drains water from Utah, we need to protect the water from Utah. And that, to me, is the bottom line, is protecting what we have here in Utah. It's also important to me to protect the lives and the lifestyles of the people that live out there in the Snake Valley.
Almost all the land in District 68 belongs to the federal government, and both candidates would like to see new ways to increase state and local revenue from that land. Nedreberg thinks the bill passed in the last session demanding the federal government turn over title to its land is a bad idea.
Whenever there's a deal that needs to be made, we need to make sure that we're at the bargaining table and we need to definitely work hard for our own bargaining interest. But I don't believe that we should be out there sending message bills, spending $3 million that could be spent better elsewhere, trying to defend something that we are pretty sure is going to lose in court.
Nelson would also like to avoid message bills, and he thinks the state could try some new strategies to help increase revenue from Utah's public lands.
Where we can work out a sale, an exchange, and those have been worked effectively through the years, both approaches, as well as long-term leases. We can work out long-term leases with the federal government and still derive the benefit that we need as a state.
Where the two candidates' views contrast most dramatically is on education funding. Nelson believes the state needs to spend more on its public schools, but he's not ready to raise taxes to do it.
I applaud our teachers. They do so well with so little. It's amazing what they do. And I think a lot of what they can do is because we have good parents, for the most part, who really want the best for their kids, and they do participate at home. That's really the key. If you get an interested student with interested parents and dedicated teachers, then you can do a whole lot with less money, which Utah has been doing now for generations.
Nelson says he supports Governor Herbert's effort to dedicate the state's surplus revenues to public schools. Nedraberg, on the other hand, is the current vice president of the Utah Education Association. He wants to see more money invested in teachers and in reducing class sizes.
We've been at the bottom of the nation in funding per student since 1988. You can't get the best education if you're continually funding it at the least level. We need to increase funding.
Because of his position with UEA, Nedraberg faces a potential conflict of interest as both a lobbyist and a legislator. He's promising to address that.
Well, the position that I have at the Utah Education Association is a part-time position. And obviously, if I were elected and were in the legislature, it'd be something that I'd have to take a leave of absence from.
Nedraberg concedes there aren't a lot of Democrats in District 68, but he agrees with Nelson that legislators need to be looking for Utah solutions without getting distracted by the national political platforms. Whoever wins, it appears the wide-open counties of western Utah will have a more moderate political voice in the Utah House of Representatives than they've had for many years. Dan Bomas, KUER News.
Education, the economy, and voter turnout were the focus of Utah's only lieutenant governor's debate. Just days away from the election, Republican Lieutenant Governor Greg Bell joins Democratic candidate Vince Rampton at Utah State University in Logan. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Democrat Vince Rampton says he would be a proactive lieutenant governor, tackling Utah's low voter turnout and one-party rule by reforming lax campaign finance laws, expanding voter outreach, and reducing lobbyist control in the legislature. He says these factors have led to a feeling of helplessness among voters.
The voters of the state of Utah have come to believe that the political process is a function of large, well-funded institutions influencing the outcome of elections through massive advertising campaigns.
Bell says his priority is to stand alongside Utah Governor Gary Herbert to keep Utah's economy growing.
The reason we've grown so much is because of our tax policies. If we start raising our taxes like Illinois and California, we'll lose jobs by the droves.
Rampton says his campaign is not seeking to raise taxes, but move existing money, like transportation funding, to other areas, especially education. The debate was produced by Utah Public Radio and is part of the Vote Utah 2012 partnership of public broadcasters. A recording of the entire debate can be found at voteutah.org. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Utah Governor Gary Herbert says he hasn't decided yet whether he'll sign an agreement with the state of Nevada dividing up water rights in the Snake Valley, which sits right on the state line. Herbert asked a panel of lawyers to evaluate the agreement, and they told him earlier in the week the deal is a reasonable framework that would help to protect interests of Utah residents. Herbert said on KUER's Radio West yesterday he expects Nevada to build a 300-mile pipeline to take groundwater from the Great Basin to Las Vegas.
They're going to put the pipeline up there. The best we can do is to make sure we can protect ourselves, and an agreement probably will do that. Whether this is the right agreement remains to be seen.
Federal law requires the agreement between the states before the project proceeds. The Southern Nevada Water Authority has threatened a lawsuit if the state of Utah doesn't work out a deal. Peter Cook, the Democratic candidate for governor, says he would not sign the deal as it stands now. A Highland businessman says his campaign signs urging voters to allow businesses there to be open on Sundays has been vandalized. Businessman Darman Nimer, that is, says he put up signs to support the cause but found them stomped and crumpled this week. Nimer says he doesn't personally believe in shopping on Sunday, but he supports the proposition.
A U.S. House race in Utah has topped the $10 million mark for the first time. The Salt Lake Tribune reports the close contest between Democratic Representative Jim Matheson and Republican challenger Mia Love is the first House race to rake in that much cash in Utah. Polls suggest the race is still too close to call. The candidate running to unseat longtime Republican U.S. Senator Orrin Hatch plans to host a pancake breakfast Saturday in Logan as an apology for early morning robocalls made by mistake by a campaign contractor. About 3,800 pre-recorded phone pitches for Democrat Scott Howell were made to Utah residents at about 6 a.m. on Tuesday morning. The body of an 80-year-old Mill Creek man missing since last week was located near a creek in Neff's Canyon last night. KSL reports a hiker discovered the body and contacted police around 6:15 p.m., according to Unified Police Lieutenant Justin Hoyle. The body was confirmed to be that of Fritz Heeland, who had been missing since Wednesday, October 24th. The case agent for a drug raid in Ogden that left one officer dead and five others wounded is set to testify in a second day of preliminary hearings. Prosecutors say Roy officer Jason Vanderwerf will lead off witnesses this morning. Second District Judge Noel S. Hyde is holding the hearings to determine if Matthew David Stewart should be held for trial on charges, including capital murder and marijuana cultivation. A federal grand jury has indicted a Ukrainian man for drunkenly trying to open an emergency exit on a Salt Lake City-bound flight and trying to bribe the FBI agents who arrested him. Authorities say Anatoly Inbaranovich woke up during his flight from Boston on October 15th and began yelling because he believed the wing of the airplane was on fire. He was restrained by passengers. Baranovich told investigators he got drunk for 50 straight days. Wood burn restrictions begin today by the Utah Department of Environmental Quality. It marks the start of the winter pollution season. The restrictions are in effect from November to March. Green, yellow, or red air days are controlled by levels of fine particle pollution, or PM2.5, from vehicles, wood stoves, and fireplaces. Bryce Bird, director of the Utah Division of Air Quality, says trip chaining, carpooling, and taking mass transit are easy ways to curb air emissions, so there are more opportunities every day to help improve air quality. A Highland businessman says his campaign signs urging voters to allow businesses there to open on Sundays have been vandalized. Businessman Darwin Nimer says he put up signs to support the cause, but found them stomped and crumpled this week. Nimer says he doesn't personally believe in shopping on Sunday, but that he supports the proposition.
And a health clinic in Ogden wants to take candy from the kids by way of excess Halloween candy. Ogden Clinic has announced its first ever treat trade-in. The clinic will give each child a movie ticket for every 3 pounds of candy donated. Pediatrician Mindy Baim says the clinic is concerned about kids' health.
We have a large number of children, particularly in Utah, that are now overweight. And a lot of it has to do with just overdoing candy, portion sizes, not exercising enough. And so this is just one way people can choose what treat they want to keep and then bring in the rest.
I should say that it's a ticket credit toward movie tickets. The treat trade-in is happening November 1st through the 2nd. From 8 to 5, all candy collected will go to Operation Gratitude, which sends care packages to U.S. troops overseas.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Thursday, November 1st. For the latest news and updates from around the state, be sure to check us out online at KUER.org. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.